I was meditating and this idea popped in my head that said, you should write a book about love. And I'm like, I do marketing. Where is this idea coming from? This makes no sense to me whatsoever.
My name is Paul Harvey, and this is Life, Passion, and Business. We're about helping you explore, finding your passion for life and the work that you do. But it's so much more than that. It's about finding clues to the big life questions. What does it mean to be successful? What is the meaning of life? If you're looking for more, then join me on this journey, where together we will discover through interviews, tools, and tips how to live life full of meaning, passion, and purpose. As you've just heard, Gloria had no sense where that idea came from. See, Gloria is an SEO copywriter and her background is in television. So when the message to write a book about love popped into her head, it was a complete surprise to her. The story begins back in the late 80s and 90s when she was working in television as a writer and a producer for the Nightly Business Report. This was one of the few business information shows on public service television. It was an exciting industry to be in, but it came to an end as Gloria's husband got a promotion which required the family to move to Orlando. She took a while to find her feet in Orlando, but discovered a course on direct response marketing. She found that writing SEO appealed to both parts of her brain, the logical part, investigating how to maximize the SEO, and the creative side, writing content that makes sense and gets people to take action. She enjoyed this work and found many clients that enjoyed working with her. Sadly, the development of her copywriting career coincided with the cancer diagnosis of her older sister, which meant a challenging balancing act between growing her business and caring for her sister. Despite the circumstances, this time was very rewarding as it enabled her to build a relationship with a sister she never knew. It was just a couple of months before her sister's passing that she received that meditation message. You should write a book about love. Through writing and continued meditation, discovered that love was an acronym for let go and let God, open your heart to receive, value your uniqueness, and embrace your divinity. The glory of the book opened the door to heal and develop her intuitive senses. It took her on a spiritual path, reading, listening, and attending to powerful silent retreats. This inner journey enabled her to bring her unique skills together and become known as the insightful copywriter. Her SEO is all about attracting ideal clients with messages from the heart. This is a fascinating conversation for me. We get to hear the inside scoop on how someone who was a logical thinker opened her heart to the possibility of something greater than herself. And the reward was this amazing book. I think I might have mentioned this before, but I'm really curious as what is the transition point? What is it that flips the switch for us? Whereas one day we are one thing and the day after we become something else. I hope you enjoy the conversation with Gloria Rand. So I'm really happy to be speaking to Gloria Rand. Now, she's an author and a copywriter, but I'm sure there's much more to the story, as there always is.
Of course.
Gloria, thank you for taking the time to be with me today. It's wonderful to have you here with me.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I've been really looking forward to this and to this discussion because I love your podcast. I love what you're doing. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Thank you. It's always nice to get a bit of positive that makes me feel good. So look, this is Life, Passion and Business. We're all about the story that you followed to get where you are today. So, I mean, where did it all start for you? What did your journey begin?
Oh, well, let's see. I've had lots of different journeys. So not quite sure how far you want to get back, but I would say the journey to get to where I am today actually began in television, believe it or not. I was a writer and a producer for the Nightly Business Report on public television here in the United States, and did that in the late 80s and 90s, and really enjoyed doing that type of work.
Television was a very different world in the 80s and 90s.
It was, in fact,
news was real, I think.
Yeah, well, and also when we were doing the show, especially when I first started on the show, they'd already been out there for a few years before I had joined the program, but there wasn't CNBC there, so there wasn't this 24-hour resource for you to be able to get business news. Nightly Business Report was pretty much it, other on television, to be able to get stock reports and to know what was going on about the economy.
Yeah, in actual fact, that must have been a very different time in the 80s, wasn't it? Because there wasn't the level of information available. You relied on the newspaper coming out and.
Yeah, in fact, the first job I was hired to do, this is dating me, but it was to actually help them to convert to the computer, to use the computer system, because they were using the type of teletype information to get. And so now I was helping them with that. And I was there for the 87 crash. And that was an amazing thing to be able to just keep watching the stock market just drop. And I was like, oh my God, when is it going to stop? It was crazy.
So you were working in television, and then where did that lead you?
Well, where that led to was actually the fact that my husband got an opportunity to move from Miami, where we were living, to Orlando, Florida. And so I didn't really want to work in local television because I had been spoiled working for NBR. I didn't have to work weekends because the stock market was closed. I didn't have to work holidays because the stock market was closed. So I wound up, actually for a little while, I was doing just some volunteer work for my kids, helping them with their schools, doing some writing press releases and newsletters, and still keeping my hand in with Nightly Business Report. I was doing like their monthly calendar, but it wasn't really fulfilling. And I wanted to be able to do something else. And I kept getting this letter in the mail that said, "Can you write a letter like this?" And I, for some reason, hung on to that. And one day, actually, I heard from NBR that they didn't actually need me anymore. So I was like, okay, I guess I gotta figure out something else to do. And so I pulled out this letter that was still on my desk, and it was essentially a course to teach you how to write junk mail. It was a copywriting course. And so I decided, well, yeah, I could write a letter like that. I'd been writing pretty much all my life. That was something that I always enjoyed doing. I was a pen pal. Remember those days when kids were actually pen pals? I don't know that they do that so much anymore, but but I was that. And so I invested in a course, and then also realized as I was going through that really companies were just going on to the internet.
Who was that with, that course, out of interest? Who is it with? Who was the course with?
Oh, the company, it's called American Writers and Artists, Inc. And they're actually based in Florida. Okay. So, which was nice because then they would have boot camps every year that I would go to.
There's a company called Glazer Kennedy that were massive in this industry. They were the go-to people in terms of direct marketing.
Absolutely. And in fact, Dan Kennedy, we frequently come to Delray Beach, where this company was based, and speak on the stage during those boot camps. And he's a phenomenal giant in the industry. And so it was great to be able to
No social skills whatsoever, apparently.
Yeah.
He can write beautifully, but he's got no social skills whatsoever. I mean, he's still alive, but he's still around. But apparently he's got no social skills. He kind of looks at people and they kind of go, "You're going to talk." He doesn't talk.
Yeah. I didn't hang out with him at the bar. That's true. He's sold millions of dollars worth of products over the years. So
I think it's in the billions, actually. Probably.
You're right. Okay. Yeah.
So you discovered a skill in direct marketing.
And like I said, especially when I discovered SEO copywriting, and that SEO, for those of you who are listening, stands for search engine optimization. And what I really loved about that, it appealed to both sides of my brain. It was like the logical part, a sort of investigation to
Now we
really
must have
figure out what words.
jumped forward in time a bit, because that certainly wasn't the 80s, was it? That's going to be late 90s, isn't it? Or
This was, well, yeah, this was, no, actually, this is 2000s. This is the 2000s now. So I had a break in between there. I was a stay-at-home mom for a while and things like that. But
definitely.
yeah, so I, this was about 2008, 2009. When, well, 2009 is actually when I started my business. And so that's when, 'cause I was learning how to do SEO, and just like I said, I liked the logical part of it, trying to figure out what were the right words people would use. And then the creative side to be able to write content on a website that made sense and that would get people to take action and that wouldn't be repetitive. Because especially back then in the early days of the internet, people were, there was a lot of keyword stuffing and people were just trying to game the system to get onto Google. And Google's gotten wise now. They don't let you do that
Yeah,
anymore.
one of the tricks people used to do at the time was to have a white background and then stuff the entire white background with white text with the keywords in it. So no
Oh,
one could
yeah.
read the keywords, but the whole thing was stuffed with keywords. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's that black hat stuff that Google doesn't like. They frowned on that. So I try to avoid doing that type of work.
So where did you leave? Where did SEO take you from there? Because that's a massive industry now. I mean, even now it's still big.
And it's been, I mean, I've been blessed to have worked with a lot of different companies over the years, and I really do enjoy, one of the things I like doing the most is writing content for a website, creating that homepage, creating the about page, getting to talk to people and really learning about their story and what they have to offer customers. And I really enjoy that. So I've been doing that now for, like I said, over 10 years. And along the way, I did like social media marketing for a little bit. And then I've also now since learned that I don't like to do that for clients so much. I like long writing. I don't like short, having to write like Facebook posts. I have enough trouble trying to do that for myself rather than to do that for another client. But blog articles, those are cool. I like doing LinkedIn profile makeovers. Anything that's more about story. It really is. It's about creating a story and creating interest for someone to get them to take action on a website. And so I've been doing that for the last 10 years. And of course, I've over the last 4 years, things have taken a little different turn because I've been doing some other exploring in my personal life. And
You want to say more about that?
Well, it's really about connecting to myself, and really been on a spiritual journey that actually began when, unfortunately, my sister was diagnosed with cancer in 2015, and she transitioned about 18 months later, unfortunately. However, that experience was really had a lot of positives, amazingly enough. She was 10 years older than me and lived in Arizona. I lived in Florida, so we were, separated by thousands of miles. So I started spending, obviously, a lot more time with her and helping her go through chemo and all that lovely stuff you have to do. So it gave us a chance to really get to know each other better because we really had two different childhoods. Because she went away to college when I was only 7 years old. And so we had, so different ways of growing up. There's a lot of still similarities, but some definite differences. And then also 2 months before she left this world, I had a meditation practice I've been doing for years. And one morning I was meditating and this idea popped in my head that said, "You should write a book about love." And I'm like, "I do marketing. Where is this idea coming from? This makes no sense to me whatsoever." And I started writing a little bit about it anyway. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just start making some notes. And love turned out to be an acronym. So it was like, oh, well, that's interesting. And then later that day, I was going through my email and I saw an email from Hay House. It's a big publishing house, and they're offering a boot camp on how to write a book. And I'm like, well, this is definitely right up Hay House's alley. So I guess this is a sign that, God, you want me to write a book about love. Okay. So I signed up for the boot camp. And then life got in the way because then, unfortunately, I lost my sister. And so spent about a year grieving that loss. But finally got back into writing the book about 2 years ago. And it was really because the reason I had to write this book was because I had to learn. I had to learn what the book was about. And it wasn't until last year that I really came up with the subtitle of the book, which is How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. And that's what I had to learn. And
I'm out of interest here because
yeah.
the two SEO is a very analytical process, and so is in some ways so is copywriting, particularly direct marketing. They're both analytical processes, and something and this what you're talking about is actually something completely different. It's a connection process with something greater than yourself. There was a shift, a transition in there somewhere. Do you think it was the connection between your sister dying, or what was it? What was the transition point for you?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, I've been doing a lot of reading and to different reading different books by different people and studying, listening to audio tapes. I've gone to a meditation retreat. I spent 10 days at a silent meditation retreat, which was amazing. I've been listening to, Esther Jerry Hicks, Abraham, and
So you opened something up by the sounds of it.
yeah, it really did. And for a while, and this was even, I think, even in the year or two after Michaela died, was that I was working with a coach, and she's like, "I see something like spiritual SEO with you," and I'm like, "So I've been like trying to wrap myself around, how do I bring these two sides together?" And especially in the last year or so, and I was working with a branding coach, and so we started rebranding myself as the insightful copywriter because I figured that was a way trying to figure out how to be able to meld what I do with the spiritual side. And I finally realized, and even after I stopped working with him, that what I'm really all about, everything that I want to do, is about messages from the heart. And so that's like my new tagline, because when I do work with business owners, I really do listen to who they are, what they are all about, and I tap into my intuition to be able to write some of this copy. And in fact, a lot of times, some of the best work is like, I don't take credit for it. I'm like, this is coming from somebody else and writing through me. And I also I've also been doing some coaching of clients as well. And so again, that's a way to be able to, again, it's messages that are coming through God. I mean, lots of people refer to, they have all sorts of different names, the universe and source. And I was raised Catholic, so I still just I'm more comfortable
Yeah, it's
saying
part of the
God.
program. You can't help that one.
Yeah.
The ones you've been raised Catholic, you can't help that one. It's part
I yeah.
of
I know, it's just it's
But
ingrained.
I mean, it is as it's God, universe, whatever, divine being. It's all those things. It's the unseen connection to something. And so this book, I mean, obviously you found time to pen it. You obviously got this after your year out of grieving. You sat down to write this book.
Yeah, I actually had a good friend of mine suggested, because I was having trouble. I was trying to write it, but it was just not wasn't working. She's like, where do you feel the happiest? And I'm like, well, I love going to the beach. So she's like, well, why don't you write the book there? And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, I'm only an hour's drive from the beach. So on Friday mornings, I would go to the beach and I would take out a journal and just start handwriting ideas. And just sometimes I'd be literally going, okay, God, what do you want me to say? I mean, what is this book all about? And, you know, help me out here. Because at the beginning, I thought it was going to be more, again, I was trying to work it into business somehow and being some sort of a business book in a way, but it turned out to be much more memoir than I intended. But it's still about what love is, was to let go and let God. That's the L. The O stands for open your heart to receive. The V is value your uniqueness. And the E is embrace your divinity.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you know, so yeah, this is, you know, not me. This is God, but it's like, so me, it was like, so what I needed to learn, because I wasn't doing that. I was, you know, controlling, and, you know, I'd grown up in the, you know, we all have stuff that happens when we're, you know, when we're kids, depending on, nobody has, I think, a perfect childhood. And, you know, and I didn't either. My dad was an alcoholic. And so it was, you know, a lot of fear growing up, not knowing what to expect from day to day. And so that, you know, impacts you. And it certainly impacted me as an adult, which I didn't even really realize until later. And so going through this process and really writing about, like, what does this mean? I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So it is about just letting go of some of these old beliefs and things, and just letting God direct my life, and trusting my, you know, opening my heart to intuition and valuing who I am. That was the section I had most trouble writing. I had the least amount of content for, and it was like, oh yeah, because this is still, because this was like last fall, I was still saying, okay, so obviously I have trouble valuing what's unique about me. Let's work on this a little bit more. So I did, and it's still a work in progress. I mean, that's the beauty of life, right? It's always a journey, and we're never there. Keep improving.
What I've discovered by doing this podcast, you know, the journey's never over.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, the journey is over, but that's when we leave.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the journey over. And life is a quest. Life is a quest from cradle to death. And that's mm-hmm. it. And how you choose to live that quest is your choice. And some people choose to live it one way, and some people choose to live it another. And that's the distilled effect of 100 podcasts.
Yeah,
absolutely. But, yeah. I mean, it sounds like you've got some wonderful stuff there. It sounds wonderful. But I really resonate with the idea about valuing the self. Toughest mm-hmm. thing to do, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did a whole masterclass not too long ago on imposter syndrome, because I think that is something that, what was actually surprising was that men suffer from it just as much, if not more, even than women do, which I didn't realize. You know, we think guys have it all together, but evidently you don't.
I think both sexes have a tough journey of it on some level. Yeah. I mean, society is obviously tilted more towards men to support them in that, but they both have a difficulty with it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I was involved in personal development from probably the 90s right the way through. So I've always been involved in personal development. And I was involved in a course called The Mastery. It used to be called The Mastery of Self-Expression. And it was, I think it was developed in New York originally, and it traveled all over the world. I'm not sure, it may still be done, I'm not sure. Yeah. But one of the exercises in that is giving feedback to everybody. So there's a situation where an event happens and everybody gets written feedback. And then we have this process on the Sunday where everyone gets their feedback, a big wadge of feedback in one go.
Oh, wow.
And like, you know, this feedback. And what is amazing about it, they're asked to pick one piece of feedback and everyone picks the worst bit. Everyone picks the critique.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's amazing.
No one picks the beautiful piece of feedback. They all pick the shit bit.
Yeah, and it's true. But you know what? It's our brains. Our brains are hardwired that way. And that was, again, one of the gifts that my sister gave me, was that she had, when I sold her house, she had lots of books. And I sort of just kind of picked a few of them that sort of sounded interesting. One of them was called Grieving Mindfully, which I thought was interesting. That was very helpful, which I kind of found, you know, a couple months later.
She lost someone herself then before.
Yeah. But some of them were about the brain, and it was, you know, like, how to make a good brain great was one of the books. And just, it's really been fascinating to me to read, how we're hardwired to focus on those negative things. And so we have to really make a conscious shift to focus on the positive so we can create those new neural connections and be able to do that, which it really does work. Because here's an example. This morning I was meditating and I was doing an affirmation. I was saying over and over in my head, I am love, I am love, I am love. And about midway through the meditation, all of a sudden, I believe popped into my head. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And then I journaled later in the morning going, wait, my soul is really telling me, yes, I believe now that I am love. I have actually, it's like, it was clicking finally for me that I could actually, it's like I've installed a new belief in my brain that yes, I am love. I believe it. And that was really powerful for me. So that was just this morning.
This process, it just goes to show it's all ongoing, isn't it? It's ongoing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So this is where you are now. The book is now out and published. And what is that leading you to in the world now?
Yeah. So my intention now, other than being on podcasts and talking about it, is I really would like to, I intend to start working on setting up maybe creating a course so that I could teach what's in the book and launch do another workshop. Cause I actually did, I taught a workshop a couple of years ago before the pandemic. And cause I thought that would also be a way to help me write the book. It was actually teaching some of these concepts. Yeah. And it actually turned out pretty well. I had really good feedback from the people who were there. So I definitely want to be able to do that again, now that I've had the advantage of really, really understanding the material so much more deeply that I can create some good exercises for people to go through. Mm. So, yeah. So those are my two plans now to start working on this year.
Well, the journey continues, of course. So as our journey in this podcast has to continue as well. So I have to ask you my next question, which is, how do you define success for you?
Success is for me is, which is, this has definitely evolved over the years, but I am even in the last year. So I would say now success is being happy with who I am and just living in the now and just really being not only even happy, but really just being okay, just to be being okay with who I am right now. Because I still, you know, still make mistakes from time to time, because that's who I am. But I think it's actually, I'm going to even change that, because no, I think success for me is being able to switch gears quickly when I do slip, you know, and when life throws you a curveball. And this happened to me last week, got some news that was like jolting, and I was able to say, okay, wait, Nope. Things are going to work out, because I know things are always working out for me, and this will work out as well. I don't know what, you know, it's a momentary bump in the road. And for me, that is success now, being able to change my thinking so quickly now, and to not get stuck in the woe is me, you know, pity party that I used to do.
I love that phrase, and I can't remember where I heard it, but life happens for you, not to you.
Yeah, I know. Yes, I love that too.
And it's like, it's tough when it does happen for you, and it's not so pleasant.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always a growth aspect out of it. There's always something out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely learned that.
There's a nice definition of success. And, you know, as you say, we can't always be, we're not always going to be our best. There's going to be days when we say things wrong or do things wrong.
Right.
And we learn by it. We learn, and we're always learning. As long as we learn by it, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. If you know, because if you're not growing, you're dying, and I'm not ready to die.
I have this thing where I know where the holes are now in my situation, because if I don't manage my awareness well, I can start spiraling down, and I recognize the hole, and I go around the lip of it, and I go, no, we won't be going there today. Let's come back out that one, you know. So it's nice to know we recognize, and I don't always, not always successful.
So yeah.
In the hole, and go, We're in here again.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes that's okay. And that's okay too, because it's like sometimes you do have to experience those feelings. You know, it's all right to feel the feelings. That's something I've had to learn too, because I would so often just stuff that stuff down, literally sometimes with food. So it's important to be able to say, no, okay, feel the feelings and then let it go.
Yeah, absolutely,
Yeah.
absolutely.
Yeah.
So, what is contribution for you? How do you perceive you contribute in the world?
Well, I really do want to get this message out because I do believe that God didn't just intend it for me, certainly. And if I can help other people out there to stop doubting their greatness and to be able to help them to shine their light in the world, that's really what how I want to be able to contribute. And so whether that's through writing or speaking, coaching, I'm open to any and all possibilities, but I really do want to be able to just help as many people avoid some of the doubting and the self-doubt and that imposter syndrome that I mentioned earlier, to be able to get over that and to really recognize that they are divine. We are all divine. We are all children of God, and we are worthy of all of the good in the world. And I just want people to recognize that.
That's a nice contribution. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah.
So, what is the one question you like people to ask you? Given that you've got quite a journey there, because you've got the journey you were on and the journey that you're now on, you've got the SEO world and the writing you do, but
Yeah.
where is it that you want to go, really, with the people asking you questions or?
Well, you know, I would like someone to ask me, I would be, is so where does music fit into all of this?
Oh, that was completely left field. I didn't expect that one. Where does music fit into all of this?
Yeah, well, see, and that's the thing, because as much as I have enjoyed, and I do enjoy writing, my other passion in life has always been music. And I, from a little girl, my mom used to sing to me, and I would sing, and I've played musical instruments. And over the last couple of years, it's trying to come out in some way. And in fact, actually last year during the pandemic, I pulled my guitar out of the closet after it's been, you know, gathering dust for years and started playing my guitar again. I even wrote a couple of songs last year. And now I've been getting involved in something that's called light language, which is sort of channeling messages from God, from angels, and it's a way to really be able to connect to your soul. And in doing some of that, it has been involving singing as well as like speaking. Some people actually write it out as well, but I've been more vocal. So I'm trying to see where that goes. Actually, I'm just continuing to practice it and see. But when I was a kid, one of my dreams was just to like be on stage. I love Judy Garland. I used to watch Judy Garland movies, and I had this, you know, dream of being like a singer on stage. And who knows? Maybe I still will one day.
Oh,
I
there's always places to sing. Uh,
Yeah.
I,
Yeah.
I uh, when we're allowed to meet up, I sing four-part harmony with people, and I love doing that.
Oh,
But
love it. Yeah.
yeah, and I must admit, I would like to reconnect with singing again. I haven't connected with that for a while, so it would be nice.
Yeah. I mean, I used to sing in the church choirs quite frequently, and that was a, that I do. I love that harmony, and I actually have changed over the years. I originally was a soprano, and now I'm an alto, because I think as I've gotten older, my voice has gotten lower, and I can also read music too. So choir directors like
Ah,
that.
you will be very popular. I can't
Yeah.
do any of those sort of things. So there we are. We just have to kind of trust.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So obviously we've covered the book. How can people get hold of the book now if they would like to get a copy of it?
Well, you can certainly go to Amazon and you can get it there, or you can also go to my website. If you go to gloriarand.com/book, you'll be able to actually learn more about the book there. And then you can, and actually the link will take you directly to Amazon, where you can order it on Kindle, or you can get hardback
Wonderful.
and paperback. So,
Wonderful.
yeah.
So those links will all be on the website and also
Yeah.
on the show notes, so people can get to that. So I hadn't pre-warned you of this, and I've got, but I just realized you that what you said you can do, what you do. Do you have anything there, like you could any little exercise you could put out into the world for our listeners to kind of like to discover something about themselves relative to your book?
Well, let's see. Yes, I would say one thing, and it's involved with that valuing your uniqueness. And it's, I think I mentioned this in the book because I do have like some exercises after each section. And that is to make a list of things that, number one, that you like to do, and things that you think you are really good at. And just, make a long list. And then if you find that you don't have that many things, go ask someone, ask your friends, ask your relatives, ask your clients if you're in business, and ask them, what's unique about me, or what am I really good at? And keep that list handy, because on those days when you do feel less than, and you feel like you're, not worthy, or you feel like you've screwed up on something, you can go and refer to that and say, oh, wait, I did do that. Oh, yeah, that was pretty good. I did help that person accomplish that. And it's a wonderful thing to do. And especially I recommend this to business owners, to keep track of your testimonials that you get from clients, because it does. Because there are some days where you're like, ah, I don't know, I'm just, for whatever reason. And it's good to have that handy to refer to.
I really recommend that one. I think that's very good to keep your testimonials, absolutely. And that list, it sounds like a good idea. I will do that myself. Thank you for that one.
Okay.
Thank
Yeah,
you.
absolutely. Yes.
So moving to our last question that we ask all of our guests is the meaning of life. We all were born on this planet as animals, or so, but humans have this sense that we're here for a purpose or for a reason. And is there a reason to it? Why are we here? What's the meaning of it for you?
The meaning of it for me is, it's yeah, again, this is something that's been evolving, and I hear different people talk about it, and I think it's just to grow and to find joy, to find joy in even the simple things. To be able to just keep your eyes open for that, because when you can focus on what is, good and blessings that you have in life, it really does help to bring more blessings into your life. So yeah, I think that's the meaning of life, is to really just find opportunities to be joyful and to look for that. And I think helping others to do that also then brings you more joy as well.
Sounds perfect to me. Sounds like a very good, each of us has to determine our own thing, because there's no right answer to that question. There's only the answer that works for you. We each have to establish our own. And many people never, some people never actually put the time into thinking about it.
Yeah, that's true. And that's sad, because you're
Well,
here, and
it's back on this
sometimes,
quest thing again, isn't it, really? The quest is
yeah.
their choice, and they choose to do the quest in their own way. And that's
Well, that's true.
it.
Yeah.
And we horses and water and all that.
Yep.
So thank you so much, Gloria, for being with me today. It's been a joy to speak to you and explore your journey, your book, and all that you bring to the world. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate this. This has been a joy to talk with you today, and I hope your listeners and got some value out of it as well.
Thank you. All the best. And that was Life, Passion and Business with Paul Harvey and my guest, Gloria Rand. If you would like to connect with Gloria, you can find her at her website, which is gloriarand.com. You can find her on Facebook with a page and a group. She's also on LinkedIn and on Instagram. And all those links will be available at the website Life, Passion and Business. Do check out the website, as that exercise that Gloria took us through is available there. You can find it at the bottom of the podcast page. There's also the book Live, Love and Engage, and you'll find details about that book there as well. And as I say every week, if you are enjoying this podcast, if you're enjoying any podcast, please support your content creators with likes, shares and reviews, because that is the power and the lifeblood of the podcast industry, and your content creators will appreciate you, but also so will your fellow listeners, because with reviews, people like you find good podcasts. So that's it for me this week. Thank you so much for your time and attention, and I'll catch you later. All the best.